I'd like to share some Torah with us all for this Shabbat HaGadol. Well, again, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And there was an article in yesterday's New York Times, a piece by Michelle Goldberg. And it was about Jared Kushner, and about how Jared Kushner is all of a sudden the White House director of the White House response to the pandemic. And apparently he is promoting ideas that these desperate pleas by the states for supplies and other kinds of support, those pleas are overblown. You see, apparently Mr. Kushner is a self-appointed expert now in epidemiology and on pandemic response. And he has decided, for example, that there is not as bad of a need of ventilators as people say they are. He's quoted as saying, "I've done my own projections and I've gotten a lot smarter about this." This is an extraordinary display of arrogance, and I have to call this out directly. This is part of a trend that we are seeing. There was an article earlier this week in The Atlantic called "The Pandemic Culture Wars." Perhaps you have been bearing witness to this yourself. There have been a growing number of particularly pundits who have come forward and said that because they themselves are older, they will happily die and get back to work and save the economy for our country. And of course, that sounds like a noble thing to say on some twisted level, I suppose. But it is a twisted thing to say, because their ideas of wanting to get out there and having all people who are above a certain age willing to die, of course, puts everyone in danger. It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone in the world then is more threatened and more endangered of all ages. This is extreme arrogance and extreme ignorance now that is being unleashed in our country. And we're seeing it at the very highest levels of our society right now, as estimates are getting downplayed, facts are getting twisted, confusion is being sowed in some of these press conferences. It is very, very difficult stuff. What I would like us to do today is to look at this phenomenon through Jewish eyes. You know, what we're looking at, folks, is v'yachazek et lev paro, that Pharaoh hardened his heart. You are looking directly at examples now of Pharaoh, which is a metaphor now of all those who are in privilege and in power, hardening their hearts against the right thing to do, right? The Jewish way of looking at things is always to never accept the given. The Jewish way of looking at things is always to question everything and to hold the measuring rod of the ethical and the good up to our world around us. Now, I have to say, folks, that I have been using my opportunities to teach Torah over the past few weeks to say words of comfort. And I will continue to do so. But this is a moment where I feel obligated to depart from that briefly and to call out the hardening of Pharaoh's heart that we are seeing in the world around us right now. You know, there's a famous discussion in the Talmud about the Chukim and Mishpatim, all of the laws and statutes that appear in the Torah. And there's a line in the Torah, a very famous line. It says, "V'chai bahem," which means, "and you shall live by them." And Rabbi Yehuda famously says, "you shall live by them and not die by them." And this, of course, becomes the basis of the famous Jewish value of Pikuach Nefesh Doche Et Hakol, that saving a life takes precedence over everything else. And all the discussions about Shabbat observance, for example, of course, we have so many restrictions on things that we can't do on Shabbat and things that we must do on Shabbat. And what our rabbis teach us is, it's even if there is the slightest possibility that somebody might be in danger in some way, even if it's a slimmest possible chance, then all the laws get canceled. All bets are off. Everything gets canceled for the sake of even the vague possibility of saving someone's life. I suppose people like Jared Kushner might have missed that day in Hebrew school. You see, I'm calling out now Jewish voices who are expressing this kind of arrogance right now. It's not just Jared Kushner. I'm hearing stories of how there are large gatherings of ultra-Orthodox Haredim in Israel in defiance of orders and probably elsewhere. And also the likes of Dennis Prager. If you're familiar with Dennis Prager, he is a famous author and pundit as well, who has written books on Jewish wisdom. And apparently when responding to this need for social distancing, Dennis Prager famously, I have a quote here, said, "That attitude that the only value is saving a life, it leads to cowardice. It has to. No one can die, then it's not a war." So much for Jewish wisdom. In this week's Torah reading, we have Parshat Tzav. And it begins with this word, Tzav, which means command. And that Moses is to command Aaron and his sons to bring the olah, to bring the burnt offering, and all the instructions. And one of the questions that our commentators address is, why does it begin with the word Tzav, command? Why doesn't, obviously it's all commanded, it's the Torah. Why do we have to add that word Tzav? Rashi says that because you want to make sure that the Kohanim, who are the guys in charge, always remember to offer the burnt offering. And Rabbi Shimon, he brings Rabbi Shimon, a quote from the Talmud, that says this particularly applies during a time of chesron kis. Chesron kis is an expression which means a time of literally a lack of the pocket, meaning economic hardship. And the commentator Siftei Chachamim explains this. He says, the korban olah is the burnt offering. That particular offering, which has tzav, the command on it, is an offering that was entirely burnt up. It was turned into ashes. This is very different from the other sacrificial offerings, where there was some of the animal left over from the sacrifice, and the meat from that animal was used to feed the Kohanim. So you would think that, you know, there might be a tendency, particularly during a time of economic hardship, that the Kohanim would want to skip the Korban Olah, the burnt offering, and want to encourage people only to offer ones where they can get more meat themselves. And that's why it says Tzav, that the Kohanim, the ones who are in charge, even during a crisis, an economic hardship, they still are commanded to offer the burnt offering. They're commanded to act against self-interest for the sake of what is right. Now, of course, when we look into this teaching and we hold it up as a mirror to our time, this is a command to all those who have power and privilege, all those who are in charge. They are mitzuvim. They are commanded to do what is right. You know, if it's true, even of the Kohanim, who are ostensibly these people who are dedicated their whole lives to the service of God, if even they, during a time of crisis, might be likely to become self-centered. Kal vachomer, we say, all the more so for people who are in power who already have corrupt values in the first place. And from these various pundits and other people in power who are saying very dangerous things at this time, you know what it's doing? It's exposing and laying bare a value system which is incredibly dangerous right now. And I'm going to name what that value system is. It's a value system that ultimately believes that there are some lives that are more worthy than other lives. It's a value system that believes that selfish interests can take precedence over the value of the lives of others. It's a value system that takes the concept of survival of the fittest and pushes it to an extreme and even evil degree. It's a value system based in concepts of bigotry and racism and classism above the ultimate truth, which is that all human beings are created equally in the image of God and are equally deserving of life and health and dignity. In short, this is an extraordinarily perilous value system for those who are in power. This is the very same value system, I hate to say it, that led to the Shoah. that led to the Holocaust in the first place. This belief that there are some lives that are worth preserving, or some lives that are worth dying for the sake of others or for themselves. This is not easy stuff. I'm sorry I'm not being comforting today, folks, but I think we have to name this together as a community. So what do we do? Well, there is wisdom, thank God, from our Torah. And I want to teach actually from the Talmud, from Shabbat, Masechet Shabbat. I'm going to read this quote from the Talmud now. It says, "Anyone who had the capability to effectively protest the sinful conduct of the members of his household and did not protest, he himself is apprehended for the sins of the members of his household and punished. If he is in a position to protest the sinful conduct of the people of his town and he fails to do so, he is apprehended for the sins of the people of his town. If he is in a position to protest the sinful conduct of the whole world and he fails to do so, he is apprehended for the sins of the whole world." So many layers of meaning in that very powerful teaching. What does it mean? It means, well, on the literal level, if you know somebody in your own household or in your own immediate circle who is defying these orders or trying to tell others to defy them, you have to stop them. You have to do everything you can to stop these people. If you know somebody in your community who is defying this and saying dangerous things, potentially threatening life, you have an obligation to stop it. And now here we are. We're seeing people committing the sins of the world now. We have an obligation to do something. So what does that mean for us who are holed up in our homes, right? It creates a feeling of incredible powerlessness. I acknowledge that. But here's what you do. If, like me, you have an opportunity to address a community, then you have to do that and point out the nature of the sinful behavior that's happening right now. If you have access to people in power and privilege, and here we are, you know, this is in Washington, D.C. area, some of us might know people in power and privilege, and we have influence over them. We have to urge them to use their influence in any way that we can. I have an obligation as a rabbi and as a leader in the Jewish community to call out when members of the Jewish people are taking this evil turn. I'm sorry to use that word. It's a very harsh word. But that's why I'm calling out Jared Kushner and some groups of ultra-Orthodox and maybe others who are defying the orders, and Dennis Prager and anybody else among the Jewish people who is potentially violating Pikuach Nefesh. We have an obligation, just like it says in the Talmud, to call them out. So we're witnessing the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. You know, we are all talking about how Pesach this year is going to have a resonance in a way that it hasn't had in recent memory. And that's so true. You know, there's a point of the Seder that none of us really like under normal circumstances. And that's the end of the Seder, the time of the Kos Shel Eliyahu, when Elijah's cup. And that's the time when we say, Shfoch chamatcha lagoyim asher lo yida'ucha, pour out your wrath upon the nations that do not know you. That's tough stuff. I want to explain why it is that we say that in the Seder. You know, when you think about it, it's the end of the Seder. We have full bellies. We've had our four cups of wine. We feel joyful and jolly. We are surrounded literally and maybe virtually by family and friends. And we're feeling good and we're celebrating redemption. And then what happens? You know, we always think that's the point when it's all for the kids. When they open the door and you're letting Elijah in to have a drink. But actually, the adult aspect of that is when that child opens the door, what's out there? Well, if the darkness of night is out there, you know what else is out there? A world where there is no Elijah yet. That's what the adults are seeing. We wish there were an Elijah. We wish Elijah would be coming to herald the Mashiach and to end the travails and pains that we have in the world right now. But when that child opens the door to the dark night, we see that we're not there yet. And it's a moment of great sadness and frustration. And that's the point of Shfoch Hamatcha, pour out your wrath. Because it's a catharsis of the pain that we have that there are people in the world who are perpetuating the darkness. Now, I know that this is a very difficult part of the Seder. And in most years, I know many people who just refuse to do it. because they don't want to think about the seemingly hateful message. I'd like us to reframe it as a call to action to do what we can now for the sake of pikuach nefesh. Because in fact, there are people now in power, people of tremendous influence in this society who do not understand the fundamental teaching, pikuach nefesh docheh hakol, that saving a life takes precedence over absolutely everything else, including economic self-interest. So what do we do? I'm going to say we should not drown ourselves in our anger and in our powerlessness. There's no point in that. What we have to do instead is, yes, feel the frustration and the powerlessness. It's part of this experience that we're all going through. But our job as the Jewish people is to learn the Torah that rises up from that experience. To ask ourselves, what must we learn here? What's the lesson that this is teaching us going forward? Remember, the Jewish response to all evil, as I always teach, it's what do we do now? You know what we do now? There's the famous line in Pirkei Avot, "B'makom she'en ish, ishtadel lehiyot ish." When there is nobody behaving with dignity in this world, then you are the one who must behave with dignity in this world. That's those concentric circles in the Talmud also. You have the obligation. If the lack of moral leadership and the lack of true leadership in our society is real right now, then we are the ones. We, the Jewish people, have to become the moral leaders of our society. It's on every single one of us now to do everything that we can to save lives. And that means, of course, calling out the people the way that I'm doing it now. But also it means giving support in any way that we can to the extraordinary people who are in power, who do have influence, who are doing extraordinarily good work to save this country. To all of the people in the federal government, to all of the people in the state and local level who are working to ensure that hospitals and others have the supplies and the support that they need. This is an opportunity for us to support in any way we can our doctors and other healthcare workers who are working so hard on the front lines to protect people. That's also how we can be the leaders when no one else is being a leader at the top levels of our society. So what do? Remember the word tzav. We are mitzuvim. We are commanded now. We are all the kohanim. We all have to not only act out of self-interest now, we have to act with a laser focus on saving life. We have to be as creative as we can, given the limited conditions that we can, and not berating ourselves the things that we cannot accomplish, but focusing on what can we do now, so that next year we can truly sing, next year in Jerusalem, may we celebrate in Jerusalem and around the world, a world that has healed, a world that has come to its senses, a world that is safe and filled with happiness and joy. Ken Yehi Ratzon, and we all say Amen.